Hi, welcome back to Gather to Scatter. We are Jordan, Mariah, and Rachel.
Hi.
Three friends who love to talk about Jesus. In this series, we are going back to basics as we consider the gospel, the context of scripture, prayer, and more. Today, we are wrapping up the series with community.
Yeah.
We must gather well to scatter well. We will laugh, we'll cry, and we'll definitely be weird. Mm-hmm. But our hope is that we will encourage you to scatter well alongside us with a solid foundation on scripture.
Let's go, baby.
Boom.
So, we back.
One of my favorite segments, I do believe. We have a question.
Question.
And I believe it is coming from the lovely Mariah. What question do you have for us, babe?
Isn't she lovely?
Sing to me, battle.
Okay. I feel like this one's pretty relevant. All these remote workers. Mm. I'm sure people have talked about this many times, but I still think it's funny. And my sister and I like to teams each other. Mm-hmm. And so when I put her on my calendar and I talk to her, I turn my camera on, and I am not a camera girl. I hide behind that camera all day, every day. Even when people go on, I'm like, nope, not me. I will not be on camera.
I am always on camera.
I hate that for you. Or maybe I love that for you. Maybe you love that.
Rachel loves it, so we can love it for you. I'm like, oh, you don't want to be on camera today?
That's
me.
That is me.
I keep mine turned off.
That is so me. And when we teams, I turn the camera on, obviously. And then it's set to on. So most recently, not last week, the week before, we were FaceTiming or teamsing, and then I had to jump right to a meeting. Mm-hmm. And I took my computer off my desk because it was a 4 o'clock meeting, and I'm like,
on the couch. This is like,
thank you. Literally, so I took it from my desk, and as I'm cozying up, literally like down here bundled, I start it and I go, and I see my face making the O, and I cover the camera with my finger as I'm like trying to exit. I was mortified. There were six people on the meeting already.
Amazing.
Okay, so anyways, that's just my long story to the question.
That's hilarious.
Oh, do we think what's more embarrassing? You accidentally unmute yourself and everyone hears you ordering at a drive-thru, or you accidentally turn your camera on while you're grubbing on whatever food you just ordered at said drive-thru.
Okay, so I definitely think the ordering is the more embarrassing, because then they know you're not paying attention. Because you can pay attention. While you're eating. I eat all the time. You can pay attention while you're eating, but if you're at the drive-thru,
you eat all the time on camera?
Well, not when I'm on camera, but okay. When I am off camera. Look, I got a lot of meetings during out the day.
I feel
during out the day.
It was a good sentence.
Words. Podcast. Okay.
We do this tired.
Grammar.
I feel like I'm more embarrassed of them seeing me eat food, because I can blame them hearing an order on anyone if I catch it in time. And then they're like, I don't know who's doing that. And I'm like, yeah, me either.
But your screen, like, lights up. It's your audio that lights up.
It lights up?
It does. It's like a little circle bubble pops up. Like, it's illuminated.
Yeah.
You know when someone's
talking. So you know who's talking.
No. I agree with you, Rachel. I think unmuting, because also, too, half the time I am multitasking and I'm on a different screen, so I'm not even looking at people on the camera. But when someone starts talking, I will stop to listen. Mm-hmm. So I feel like if you unmute yourself and you start talking, people are more to be like, oh, sorry, what did someone say something?
Yep.
And they'll stop talking. So then they're just
I'd
like a Big Mac and a big French fry and a Diet Dr. Pepper. And they're like, sorry, what?
Super sad.
I said a Diet Dr. Pepper.
Oh,
Diet Dr. Pepper.
Wrong person asked me what. Wrong conversation.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah. So, Jordan, what is community?
Oh, man. We love community. So, really, it's just a group of people, but it's a group of people that you have something in common with. Mm. Every human being has an innate desire to be known and loved, and to be fully known and fully loved. Not like, I'm going to let people know a little bit about me. And then they'll like me. But like, man, how great would it be if someone knew all the good, all the bad, everything, and still 100% loved me? Mm. We desire to have relationships that are deep and not just acquaintances. We want to like whenever we're going to church, whenever we're going to dinner, whenever we're going anywhere, walking into a room full of people, what are you looking for? Someone who's looking for you. Like, you want to be included. You want to be seen and known. There's a comfort that comes with that. And that's special. And that is something that the Lord has given us. But why? The why behind it.
Yeah. So
it's beautiful.
I love that you said, we walk into a room, what do you want to see? Or what are we looking for? Someone that's looking for us.
Yeah.
And I love that because it's, we are made that way. We have an innate desire for that. And it is because God, he is in a perfect community of himself. So yeah. He is a triune God,
yeah.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and has been for eternity. So when it says that God made, let us make man in our own image,
yes.
That was the triune God saying, let us make man in our image, in
like
our community
us.
Image. Yeah. Yeah. And so in Genesis 1, 26 yeah. through 28, it talks about how it is not good for man to be alone. And often we take that and accurately ascribe that to, it is good for a man and woman to come together in holy matrimony. And that is a picture of Christ in the church, but it is also good for man to be in community. So it is not just that a man needs a wife, but it is that a man needs companionship. A man needs to be known and fully known and loved.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And it's Genesis 2:18. Then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone.
Mm-hmm.
I will make him a helper fit for him. Yeah. And that, I mean, that's not long after the Genesis 1:26-28.
Mm-hmm.
Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish and of the sea. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. I like that he doubles down.
Mm-hmm.
God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, are you listening? Let me say this one more time.
Yeah.
You are made in my image.
Mm.
Thomas said in one of his sermons, no person is an island. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
You know that question people ask? If you were to be on an island, what are the three things you would take with
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Three people?
And I'm like,
my mom?
does she count?
Yeah. Like,
you don't want to be on an island by yourself? Yeah. What are
well,
we?
That's why the ultimate punishment when you're in prison is isolation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It drives people crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we're made to be with people.
Well, those people should be by themselves.
Well, but that, it, all right. But that's why it drives them crazy.
I know. Man.
It's why it is the worst punishment that you could get, is to be yeah. alone for a long period of time.
Yeah. That's why it's dangerous to withdraw. Like, when you're dealing with hard things and you withdraw from your people, from your community, from your norms, you start to lose it a little bit. It's not healthy for you. Now, when you're dealing with a hard thing, be picky with your people, but have people.
Mm-hmm.
Don't completely say, community, I'm going to take a break from all the things. No.
Mm.
You're not going to get through it well.
Mm-hmm.
You might try and suppress it, but we have to have community.
We do. That doesn't mean, though, so I'm in a period right now, full vulnerability, not full vulnerability, some. I have stepped back from some things because it is too much, but I am making myself go to other things. So it is, I'm intentionally going to Bible study, even if I don't want to be there.
Yeah.
I'm intentionally going to things when I want to isolate, because when we are going through things, sometimes it is easier for us to deal with it on our own. Mm-hmm. So we think, but it's not in the end.
But you're doing what I just said, that, like, you're being picky with your people.
Yeah.
And picky with your places, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, you want to stick with the peas.
Yeah.
Like, you're not doing everything. That's okay.
Yeah.
But if we withdraw too much, it's going to affect us negatively.
Yeah.
Every time. So what if I have an unhealthy community? What if I have people around me who are not checking in on me?
Mm.
What if I am going through something and people are like, she'll figure it out.
Hmm.
Get new friends.
Oh, yeah. Why is it Why is being in a healthy community important?
Let me tell you. Or actually, who wrote Hebrews?
Yeah.
No, who wrote Hebrews?
Unknown. Mm, debated, but.
Yeah. Unconfirmed.
I was going to say, well, let me read what so-and-so said, but Hebrews God. 10, inspired by the Lord. I did not say that sarcastically. I really meant that, but
yeah.
I know that my voice sounds sarcastic. you guys know you're my community.
We do know. That sarcastically, we do know.
Hebrews 10, 24, 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Mm. Interesting, guys. Day is capitalized there.
Sure is. Capital D day.
The day.
D-Day.
D-Day.
Deliverance day.
The day.
Be delivered from this broken world.
Wow.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that until right this second while I was reading that. So day is capitalized. That's amazing. The day.
Mm-hmm. Something that just stuck out to me is, why is being in a healthy community important? Because an unhealthy community will help give the devil a foothold in your life. Because have y'all heard the saying where it is, you are the sum of the three closest people to you?
Yeah.
So the people that we surround ourselves with, the people that we are constantly in community and in conversation with, will rub off. It does affect you when you are around people who are not seeking after the things of the Lord. Because whether or not we want to believe it, we are influenced. Now, that does not mean that we should not be in the world. And I think we are going to talk about that a little bit later. But
yeah. Well, and I remember the first few years after I came to faith, I mean, they were brutal. My whole community was not seeking God, except for my roommate and best friend. And she's the one who got me to church. She's the one who kept asking. And so the first couple years of that sanctification process was so hard. And it was having to walk away from people who are loving people that don't love God. And so they were like, oh, you're having a bad day. Come out with us. Come do this. Come do that. And I just felt so empty. And I felt so sad because I was like, you're my friends and I don't want to do these things anymore. And I can't really explain why. Now I know why. But it didn't make sense to me at the time. And that was hard. But I didn't have people to stir me up to love and good works. I had people who were pulling me back in to the world.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's just hard.
It wasn't until I met Sydney, who then introduced me to you, who then introduced me to you, Jordan and Rachel, I'm staring at, in case you guys didn't know who else is in the room with me. It wasn't until then, though, seriously, guys, that I felt like I was, like, even just getting to know God more and stronger because of you guys. And that is wild to me. It was like, I thought I could do it on my own at first.
Yeah.
Truly. And the first almost full year of me trying to do it on my own was, feels like, honestly, a wash. Like, I look back on that. I look at the notes. And, you know, we all got to start somewhere. I'm not trying to say, like, that wasn't.
Yeah.
I mean, but I was still doing all the things. But I look back and I remember how hard it was for me to even pick up my Bible.
Yeah.
And now it's hard for me to put down my Bible.
Praise God.
And that is so cool. And I know that I would have been able to get here with him alone, but not the same way. And it probably would have taken longer. And genuinely, I don't know that I'd even be in the same place.
Yeah.
Because you need people. And you need people to stir you up.
Yeah.
And yeah.
It's good.
It's great.
Wow.
You guys are great.
We love you.
Okay, so Hebrews 10, 20, 24 talks about basically, you know, what I just said, stirring one another up. So 1 Corinthians 15, 32 to 34 says, What do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought with beasts of Ephesus? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Hmm. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Hmm. So that, actually, bad company ruins good morals, is a secular quote from the Greek poet Menander.
Oh, wow.
Which I think is really cool that a Greek poet was quoted in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. That is cool.
Yeah. So I think this is really interesting, and it not necessarily goes hand in hand with the Hebrews quote, but I think it's giving you one look and another look. Mm-hmm. But what Paul wrote here, I think, is really interesting. So let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Non-believers are living for right now. Mm-hmm. They're living for the present.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, when I used to think death ended everything for me,
I
was also enjoying the now. Mm-hmm. Like, that was all that mattered. Because, yes, like you said, why wouldn't I?
Yeah. This is all that there is, so I'm going to make the most of it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And especially, too, because death is a scary freaking concept.
Death is terrifying if you don't believe in eternity. Yes.
I remember I used to cry because I would think about death and I'm like, oh, this black hole, when does this black hole end?
So
okay, surely I must have a second life, or surely there's some time end to this black hole. Because, like, what do you think of when death?
And I wonder how many people have these thoughts and they don't talk about it. Because I remember vividly a dear friend of mine in college, she had gone out. I was a designated driver, came home, taking care of her. And she just started weeping. And I was like, what's wrong? And she was just like, I just wish I could believe that there was something after this like you do. But, like, if this is all that there is, like, why can't I believe what you believe? And I was like, baby Christian, like, months into it. And I was like, I don't know. Just believe. I, like, tried to tell her the gospel. Like, I've known the gospel my whole life. And she was just like, I know the gospel. And I was like, okay. But, like, and I'm like, she probably never remembers that. But, like, everyone has this kind of thought.
Yeah.
We must, but we don't talk about it because it's scary.
Yeah.
Like, what a downer.
Oh, humans are so good at pushing things aside. Mm-hmm. I'll think about that tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Not worried about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is so funny because the thought process is, let me do it now because tomorrow I die. It's like, what? And I've heard people like, oh, I'll be a good Christian when fill in the blank. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and then I read the Bible. If the Lord wills it, this is what I will do. That's Paul. And it's like, that is how we need to be operating out of every aspect of our lives.
So that is what Paul is talking about for the non-believers. Of course, Christians, however, are called to prepare for the eternal life, right? Mm-hmm. So that is what we are meant to be doing.
Yeah.
On earth right now. That is why we're here, to spread the gospel.
Job one. Share the gospel.
That is our job. Oh. That is our first job.
It's like, I thought it was Job.
Nope. Yep. What are you quoting right now?
That's funny.
Yes. Mm. Amen. Job one. Okay, but I also want to emphasize that Paul is by no means in this saying to stay away from non-believers entirely. Mm-hmm. Because what is where is it quoted about being the salt and light in earth? Is that Matthew?
Is it Matthew 5?
I think it's Matthew 5, So we're called to be the salt and light to the world. But what he is doing is cautioning us, right?
Absolutely.
And he is making sure we know that we need to be fully equipped if we are going to be around such people day in and day out. And we should be around them. Mm-hmm. Because we want them to.
And that's the thing. If you love someone, if you truly love someone, you want
the best for them.
You want to intervene when they're careening off a cliff. Like, you want to be the one who goes, here is the lifeline. Here is, there isn't a black hole. This is your option. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, and how, I remember who said it. This is not me. But I heard someone saying, how much do you have to hate someone?
That was an atheist who said that.
Oh.
Yeah. Finish.
Keep going. How much do you have to hate someone if you believe in eternity and a heaven and hell, and you know the way to heaven to escape hell,
and you don't tell anyone. Mm-hmm. How much do you have to hate someone?
Yeah. Whoa. And an atheist an said atheist, that?
So it was in...
That's crazy. So I was like, what a great thing to say. That's insane.
It was in the American Gospel. And it was a guy, and he was a secular atheist, and he literally said, how much do you have to hate someone if you truly believe that they are going to hell to not proselytize to them?
Atheist Penn Jillette.
Yeah.
Jillette.
Sorry, I don't know the name. So, yeah, wow. I mean, and that is true. Like, he might not, the Lord has not changed his heart yet, but he recognizes the love behind.
Whoa.
Spreading the gospel. And so American Christian, you might be embarrassed
because you think
someone is going to look at you differently, but how long is eternity versus how long that embarrassment is going to last?
Have you ever read the full quote?
Read it to Mm-mm. us.
I've always said that I don't respect people who don't proselytize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and a hell and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life, and you think that it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward.
Mm.
And atheists who think people shouldn't proselytize and who say, leave me alone and keep your religion to yourself. How much do you have to hate somebody not to proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe everlasting life is possible and not tell them that?
Wow.
Holy cow.
Okay. I told you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And amen.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Feel awkward. That's fine. With my FCA kids, like a year and a half ago, we made them tell each other the gospel. And they were like, oh my gosh, Ms. Bourne, this is so awkward. We know the gospel. I'm like, cool, tell each other it.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Tell each other. And that's the best thing. The church that I went to in South Carolina when I lived there, the best thing that we did was practice telling each other the gospel. Yeah. Because it helped us get used to it.
Yeah.
We don't do it enough.
Yeah.
We do not do it enough. We have to do it more.
I agree.
Okay, Penn Jillette. Aw, I hope he loves the Lord now.
That would be cool.
It would be.
He sounded wise from that.
Wow.
I guess also personally, worth sharing, I have still my closest group of girlfriends
mm-hmm.
back in California
mm-hmm.
who some might say they believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
Some.
Like they might claim that themselves.
Yes.
Okay.
But I used to as well. Like I've always thought
yeah, I did
there
too.
Was a God. Yeah. I just didn't really know why or what. Again, I thought there was a black hole for death. So,
yeah.
Which is, you know, something. And then others might not at all. And I still love them dearly.
Yeah.
I still talk to them often.
Mm-hmm.
But I go to them for different things now.
Yeah.
Versus what I go to you guys for. And we talk about different things than mm-hmm. what I talk to you guys about. And not in a way that, like, I would be embarrassed about. Like, it's – and it is still – you know, it's still hard to just, like, share the gospel with them in a way because
yeah.
I don't want – them to not come to me with things. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to be so aggressive. Mm-hmm. I hate even saying the word aggressive because I don't mean it like that, but I don't want to be in their face with this mm-hmm. that maybe they don't agree with in a way. And so they don't want to come to me with mm-hmm. things,
yeah.
but it's still important for me for them to know
yeah.
that I am not going to speak the way I used to. I am not going to encourage you the way that I used to.
Yeah.
So if you want to come to me with these things, just be prepared that I am going to.
Yeah.
Talk about God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that goes back to what you're talking about is exactly what Paul was saying in those verses. Because mm-hmm. when he was quoting the philosopher, that was a secular philosopher that the group of people that he was talking with understood and knew about.
Yeah.
So when Paul is saying be all things to all people, he doesn't mean shapeshift and be a chameleon wherever you're fitting in. But it is be a comforter for people who are not believers and don't necessarily just beat them over the head with the Bible.
Right.
It's understand and be in culture and recognize what God is doing in culture. Recognize the wisdom from the atheist mm-hmm. and be able to translate that into, okay, God, he's recognizing God's beautiful plan
yeah.
and he's recognizing it. He's just not
mm-hmm.
a new creation. He's mm-hmm. not ascribing the correct outcome to it.
Yeah.
So Thomas said,
Thomas, our pastor, not Thomas in the Bible.
Thank you. Is there a Thomas in the Bible?
Yeah.
Yeah. Doubting Thomas.
Doubting Thomas?
He was one of the disciples.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah. People give him a bad rap. I honestly think that he's great. Yeah.
I'm like, if you can't see yourself in Thomas, yeah, you doubt him all the time.
Literally, yes.
Okay. Well, that's okay. Thomas, our pastor, put it two ways. So he tells what a godly community is, and he tells what a worldly community is. And I just love the words he said. So godly community is giving advice that leads to reconciliation always, restoration always, the gospel always, the glory of God always.
Yeah.
And there is kindness always, and there is goodness always, even if they're telling you something you don't want to hear.
Come on now.
That's good.
Boom. Roasted. Worldly advice.
Yeah.
Gives advice that leads towards retaliation. Self-aggrandizement.
Okay.
Or the lessening of others.
Okay. Yeah.
And your personal rights.
Yeah.
So if you're not understanding it, worldly community is all about yourself.
Yeah.
Because why not?
Yeah.
Living for the now. You are going to do everything in your power to do what you think is best for yourself.
Yeah.
Right here, right now.
Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Okay, Thomas.
Okay, Thomas.
Yeah.
Okay, so what about the person who is saying, why don't I have community?
Mm-mm.
Like, I'm not included in things. I don't have it. It's hard.
Wow.
Man, let's talk about college for a second. College was just like, we're like, oh, I'm so busy. If you're in college, you are busy. But, like, you're always going to be busy. So learn how to be good at saying no to things. That could be a whole podcast.
Even as an adult.
I know. I'm saying get used to it because you don't stop being busy. You're almost an adult.
Legally.
Yeah. You're still dependent on a lot of things. Anyways, like, you have your community. It's just there. Like, you move into a dorm if you go to college, and you have all of the people around you, or you do Greek life, or you live with roommates. Like, you always have people right around you, and you have a lot of time to just be with people if you choose to. It's so different as an adult. Yeah. It's so hard to have a full-time job, have the energy to meet new people. I've moved many times, and not even to totally different places. Like, I've moved back here, home, three times, I think. This is the third time. And each time it was still hard, even though this was home, because it was different people. Mm-hmm. And I had to learn new people. I had to make new friends. That's just hard.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the person who's sitting there thinking, like, okay, community is important, I want to make good community, literally how? You just do it.
Mm.
And it's awkward, and it's hard, and it can be disappointing, but then it can be so good.
Yeah.
Because you have friendships that last. You have some friendships that are going to be lifelong friendships. I have one of those, which is special.
Mm-hmm.
One of my best friends since high school. Still one of my best friends. She moved to Australia, which is rude. Come home. Bring your husband and your baby. They're great too. But I'm like, okay, she's my lifelong, also like my sister, but you count too, sis. But it's like, that's rare.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have some people for a season, like it's for this short season, or when I live in this place, or whatever, or maybe it's a long season. Some people are just in your life for a reason. You needed to learn something from them. They needed to learn something from you. But it's all different. And so for people who are sitting there, like, all of my friends just got married and I'm the only single one. Mm. Or all of my friends have moved, or I moved. It can be discouraging when you don't have your people. But don't sit in the discouragement for so long that you become bitter. I'm saying that because I did that. And I had so many of my friends get married and start having kids. And in a season where close friends were getting engaged, I got engaged. And then they got married. My wedding got called off. they got married, and I was just like, I have no single people. Mm-hmm. And I just boohooed about it and complained to the Lord and was like, well, I'm going to have to move churches, and this is terrible. And like, why isn't this happening for me? And why don't people have time for me? And God was like, do something. Like, what are you doing? You are a grown, independent woman. Mm-hmm. Do something. And so I started a supper club. Mm-hmm. And it's been so great. And we've been in the supper club for almost 2 years. And we have accountability. Isn't that crazy? 2 years.
That is wild.
I know.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
It's so weird. I think I've only been in it for like a year.
Oh. All right. Yeah. All right.
So when we talk about bitterness,
you came, we can talk about that. Ordained you to come.
But don't do what I did. Don't sit in the, oh my gosh, this isn't happening for me. I know that's hard, but do something about it. It might be awkward, but anytime that you want to try something new, you risk failure or you risk rejection. And you have to be willing to do that. Mm-hmm. That's in building community. That's in building a relationship with a romantic partner. That's with anything. With going for a new business venture, you have to be willing to risk getting rejected or not having acceptance. And I felt awkward. I talked to Sid mm-hmm. and I was like, so I'm thinking about like doing an accountability group. And I don't know if it's a good idea. What do you think? And she was like, oh my gosh, Joe, that would be like the bubbliest human being. We love you. She's like, that would be a great idea. Oh my gosh, we could invite. She just started naming people. And I was like, oh, you bring the friends. Great.
Yes. That's how this works.
Okay. That is how this works. And she did.
Everyone should find a Sid.
And she did. I know, but you can't have ours.
No, I said find a Sid.
Yes, yeah. You did. Thank you. That was a good clarifier. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
She has enough friends.
But it's
too.
Been so good. She does. No, I mean, new friends are great. But it's just been so good. And I'm so glad that I listened to the Lord. Because so many times we don't. So often I do not.
Yeah.
And it has been so special. And he's given us this amazing community.
Yeah. Let's also talk, though, on when you say just do it. Mm-hmm. Because you can't just sit back and think like, woe is me. I have no mm-hmm. friends. Mm-hmm. Bummer. Mm-hmm. This sucks. Yeah. The Lord should be giving me friends.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. That's mm-hmm. not how it works. Mm-hmm. You need to make sure, one, you're praying about it.
Yeah.
Huge. Like, pray. Sit and pray to the Lord constantly and tell him what you are desiring. Tell him what you are needing.
Be specific.
Yes. Mm-hmm. 100%. He knows, but you need to still tell him.
Yeah.
So you need to be praying, and you also need to be doing it. Okay. Mm-hmm. You need to be putting yourself out there.
We have to be active in it.
Regardless of how uncomfortable it may feel. Mm-hmm. Because usually that's how the stories start, is they're uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I hate to break it to you all, but even at church, even in a room full of God-fearing, God-loving humans, mm-hmm. it will be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But they should.
Yeah.
They might not be. But they should be so kind to you. Mm-hmm. They should be the kindest people you will be around. And that alone should be comforting mm-hmm. because it's just nice how kind, truly.
And I would add, don't be discouraged if the first time you try, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Because you might see somebody at church and you're like, okay, I really want to be friends with them. And you go up and you invite them to coffee and you go to coffee and it's just not the fit, and mm-hmm. that's fine. Like mm-hmm. we can be brothers and sisters in Christ and not be our inner circle, and that is okay.
We're not gonna gel with everyone.
Yeah,
it's just not gonna happen.
It's not. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't try to expand, which doesn't mean we shouldn't stretch ourselves to include people, but we're not. God, Jesus had the many, the 12, and the 3. Mm-hmm. Like, use that as an example. You don't have to be super, super close to literally everyone you're an acquaintance with.
Yeah.
And that's keep good. Trying. So my job is mostly cold calling. So I got very used to the rejection and the next and the next. But it doesn't translate into your personal life. It's easy to turn it off when you're in work and mm-hmm. then go into your personal life and it's like, oh, I don't want to talk to her because what if she doesn't like me and mm-hmm. she's really, really cool and I just don't know. And mm-hmm. it's okay. If she doesn't, that's fine. There are others.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Well, and also like be the person who is in the room full of people with your people looking for someone who doesn't know anyone. Yeah. Be that person.
It goes back to what you said. Yeah. Everyone wants, what are we looking for?
Someone who's looking for us.
Yeah.
And there are people, man, and we have an amazing young adult ministry, and it amazes me every week, single men and single women, like one individual person, I guess they are single, but their spouse might come with them. Anyways, it's like individual people walking in, not knowing anyone. Mm-hmm. How bold, how brave. And then for someone who's in the church to be like, oh, they walked in by themselves. Hey, I'm Jordan. What's your name? How'd you hear about the church? Tell me about yourself. People love talking about themselves. Yeah. If you're like, I don't know how to approach people, ask them about themselves. We love to talk about ourselves.
And it might take a little bit. It
might take a few groups. Yeah. Because, I mean, I was in the church, started going to the church 2020. When did we become friends?
2, 3 years.
2022?
How old am I? I don't know. 2 years ago.
2023.
Thank you.
So it took, and I have wonderful friends during that time, but it wasn't my community. And they're amazing, and I love those women. Mm-hmm. But it took me 3 years. It took me 3 years to find my community in that church. And I love that church, and I love everyone in it. Mm-hmm. Just saying that.
Yeah.
Give Disclaimer. It time. Just give it time.
That's good. And so if you're sitting at home and you're like, I don't have plans tonight. Okay. Talk to God about that. Mm-hmm. If you're like, why wasn't I included in this thing? You know, do some self-reflection. Mm. Have you put yourself out there? Have you been like, hey, would love to hang out with you guys? That's awkward. And like, I have been like, hey, would love to hang out with you guys the next time you do something. And then they still don't invite me. Mm-hmm. And that hurts my feelings.
Yep.
We got to get better at having our feelings hurt.
Yeah.
That could be a whole podcast as well. But like, there are, it just could be
a whole podcast. Yeah. Well, and are you being the friend that you would want to have? Are you actually interested in other people? Or are you just interested in having other people be interested in you?
Yeah.
Are you asking questions? Like we said, people love to talk about themselves. Are you asking questions, or are you just coming in and telling them who you are?
Mm-hmm. And it is, sometimes things are going to be exclusive. Like what you just said, the many, the 12, and the three. Like sometimes I just want to hang out with you two. Mm-hmm. All the time. I just want to hang out with you too.
Obviously.
Sometimes other people can come. Hmm. Right? Like sometimes it's like, okay, one, I have enough energy to be on. And so I can like have other people around. Most of the time, if I'm honest, I don't want to have to be on. And I can just be with you guys and y'all know everything that's going on in my life. And so I don't have to put on like a, you know, it's going to be, I'm like, no, right now it sucks. And you're like, yeah, it does. And you're just with me in it. And so sometimes it's going to be exclusive and that's okay. But do both.
Yeah.
It's not no new friends.
Yeah.
Have new friends. But like, don't do too much.
I agree.
But don't do nothing.
Balance. Balance.
Balance. It is balance, but also be intentional with those friendships.
You are really good at that, Mo.
Yeah, we were talking about it earlier.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You're very intentional with how you spend time with people.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
And being there for people.
Oh, 100%. 100. Mm-hmm. I literally texted you last night and said, like, can you call me? Or are you free?
She something? Calls
And
you immediately called.
Like, I put my phone down. You were also looking at my location.
Yeah. I said, that's so funny. I just went to click on your name and it wasn't loading.
Is she okay?
Oh, no. And she texted and I said, funny.
Hilarious. But it was. I literally text her, send, put my phone down, and it was like, oh. Here she is. But you are. You make time for your people and you're there. And it's good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So we have talked about being in community, what that even means.
Yeah.
What do we do if we aren't in community? Now I really want us to talk about how to be in community, because I think that is important.
Yeah.
And we've touched on it here and there. One of the biggest things is that God has, like we said at the beginning, designed us to be in community. Mm-hmm. Not only that, he is a God of order and he has given us the playbook.
Yeah.
He has instructed us on how to be in community.
The playbook.
So I want to give two different sections of scripture that I really love about community. The first is in Romans. Mm-hmm. And it talks about why it is important. God has told us why it's important for us to be in community yet again. Mm-hmm. So Romans 12:4-8 says, "For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another."
Yeah.
Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. Mm-hmm. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes in generosity. The one who leads with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Mm-hmm. So God has gifted us all in different ways. So not only are we to be in community because it is good for us and our soul, but it is good for other people to be in community with us because yeah. we each provide a different piece because we are all made in God's image, yeah. but we are all different. And yeah. so we are each reflecting a different attribute that he has given us. Mm-hmm. And I love that.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
That's good.
So moving into how we then are to be in community, the scripture is filled with verses on how to do that. One particular one that I love is 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 25. And y'all know I like all of the context.
Let's go, girl. So give it to us. Bring it
all. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. I want to highlight that. Be at peace among yourselves. Mm-hmm. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak,
yeah.
be patient with them all. See that no one repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Mm-hmm. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He yeah. will surely do it. Brothers, pray for us.
Come on.
This is such a good portion of scripture for so many reasons.
Yeah.
It is just, we're in community and he gives us how to be in community. And it doesn't yeah. mean to just, we've talked about it before on the podcast. I can't remember what episode, but we've talked about how the world has changed the definition of love to mean just agree with everything that I believe in.
Yeah.
Don't ever challenge me in anything because that's not loving. But it shows us, yes, we are a body. We are a family. We are to do these things with each other. Mm-hmm. Esteem people highly. Be at peace. Yeah. But also make sure people are not repaying evil with evil. Mm-hmm. Always seek to do good to one another.
Yeah.
It's so good.
That is good. I'm thinking of Philippians 2 as well. Philippians mm-hmm. 2, 1 through 11. And it just talks about Christ's humility and scripture is just full of what to do and what not to do.
Yeah.
And the why. That's one thing that I love.
He gives us why.
He gives us the why.
Mm-hmm. He didn't have to.
No.
He sure didn't.
Mm-mm. But he does because he knows us. He's yeah. like, they're going to want it.
God is good.
Mm-hmm. All the time.
Even when we don't believe it.
Yes.
The last verse I want to touch on. Mm-hmm. Romans, back in Romans, Rach just touched on Romans.
Love Romans.
I haven't studied Romans, but reading Romans was really nice mm-hmm. in this
we should study Bible.
I would really love to study Romans. It feels like, didn't someone make a joke about Romans, like that's, I'm looking at you guys and neither of you are immediately knowing what I'm talking about, so I'm not mm-hmm. even keep going.
Okay.
Because it's not going anywhere. I was hoping someone would be like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Not in like a bad way. In like a, oh, yeah, you're studying Ruth, so the guys are probably studying Rome.
Yes.
Someone did make that joke.
Yeah.
The people think, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Yes. Need to give you a little more context.
Yes, I have heard that.
Yes,
someone said it in our small group.
Yes, yeah.
I think it was Abby.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was yeah. Abby.
Oh, gracious.
Close call.
Oh my goodness, that is so funny.
just keep talking, Mom.
Just keep talking. Okay, so Romans 5-7 says, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Jesus Christ, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm. Yeah.
Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God.
Amen. Come on. What was that? Romans?
Romans 5 to 7.
15, 5 through 7?
I'm sorry. Yes. Thank you. Romans 15.
All of Romans 5 through
7. I was like, that was very short chapters. I was trying to give you an out.
Thank you. I don't need that. Keep me honest, girl. I also did read another translation, which I'm really sorry. I can't think of it, but you don't even know what translation I'm reading anyways. But I did read another translation, and instead of that may the God of endurance and encouragement, mm-hmm. it says may the God of patience and comfort. Mm. And like all four of those words, listen, are so strong. Yeah. So whatever translation you're reading is amazing. Mm-hmm. But I think it's, I enjoyed the patience and comfort translation because it emphasizes to us that he is a God of patience. And being that we just touched on that in community, you need to have patience with it.
Yeah.
And it's another reminder how we want things done at the snap of a finger. And that is not how God works. Mm-mm. Frankly, that's not how life works, but
that's not how God works. But life likes to lie to you by giving us things like Amazon Prime, where you can have it tomorrow.
Amen to
you
that.
You know, like there are so many things in our lives that are telling us you should have it now. You should have it now.
Yes.
And like, well, I was looking at something earlier and I was like, this website isn't working. And I like exited and went back in and it was doing it. I was like, no, it's just taking time to load. But I gave it like 0.5 seconds and I was like, this isn't working.
Bye.
Close computer. Oh my. Yeah.
But it's touched on here to live in such harmony with one another.
Yeah.
It is really difficult to accept every person. Yeah. You know, it can be hard. And we've already talked about this. It can be hard to talk to new people. Mm-hmm. And it can be even harder to accept them into our hearts.
Yeah.
But we got to. You know, we must, because who are we
literally
to not accept others mm-hmm. when Christ accepted us? Mm-hmm. Like, who do we think we must be?
Mm-hmm. And we have to hold each other accountable in that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, oh man, who said this? Who did this sermon? I want to give credits to the right person. It wasn't a Jason lead pastor sermon. It was someone else did this sermon this day. I think it was Colin Hansen actually. And he said, we all want community, but we don't want autonomy.
To give up autonomy.
We don't want, yes.
Gotcha.
Colin Hansen said, we all want community, but we don't want to give up autonomy. Yeah. We don't want to give up our freedom. Mm-mm. Why not?
Mm-mm. We want people to do what we want them to do when we want them to do it because we're prideful. We want people
to fit perfectly into the life that we've already created for ourselves. And it's getting worse and worse. I mean, we talked about it earlier.
We sure did.
Yeah, we talked about it earlier. And it's happening in friendships. It's happening in dating relationships. It's happening in, like, it's happening everywhere. Mm-hmm. We have this expectation that, oh, I'm going to find this person, whether it's a friend or a romantic interest, and they're just going to, like, fit right in mm-hmm. to the life that I already have. That's fake.
Yeah.
You have to make time for your people.
Yes.
Otherwise, you're just being selfish.
Well, and they have lives, too.
Uh-huh. It's not all about you.
I used to, this is really, really telling about who I was as a small child. When I really thought it was hard for me to grasp that people existed when I wasn't in the room.
Oh my.
Like I really just thought that they were like what are you doing when I'm not there? Yes, like the toys and Toy Story, like you're not there when I'm not there. Like you're not doing anything. I'm not there. What do you mean you have another life? You have other friends. Like when my parents, when I was at school, my parents at work, they were not.
They didn't have their own life. They were waiting for you to get home.
Yeah. They were little puppets on marionette strings on the wall.
Did Toy Story give you this idea?
I have no idea.
Okay. That's
interesting. I think it was just my own prideful little self.
The psychology behind that is very intriguing to me.
Well, we could dissect that later.
I have my own case studies. I'm good.
The egotistical mind of Rachel.
In other words, we can either be free or we can have friends.
Mm.
Yeah. One or the other.
That's so good.
Right?
That is good. That's so good, Mo.
Yes. That wasn't me. That was Colin Hansen.
But I know, but you called it out.
Yes. But that hits because what, like, heart check there, in my opinion. You should have a heart of sacrifice, but your heart shouldn't just be full of sacrifice. Your heart should be glad. You should have a glad heart of sacrifice.
Cheerful giver.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, because if you're not, if you're not doing it in the right headspace, you're not, there's, the effect is not there.
Yeah.
Well, and it's, why do you want friends? Do you want what they can give you, or do you want them for who they are?
Yes.
And do you want to be a friend?
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you?
Great question.
Be more concerned about what you can give than what you can receive.
Yeah. That's good.
I love that.
Man. So community.
It's community. Fun. It is fun.
It's great.
And it's hard when you don't have it. So try and create it.
Yeah. And we're talking a lot about it, and we want to create a space where there is community in this podcast, but we want you guys to find community where you are. It needs to be a local community. It is so easy in this world to see people on a screen, hear people over Spotify and say, oh, these are my friends. It's so easy to do that. And we love you, but we can't be with you all the time.
It takes time.
It does.
I feel like we need to, like, actually, maybe, I think it did stress that, but, like, end on that, maybe.
Several years. Took several years.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it, those are not easy years.
Mm-mm. And you have to be willing to be vulnerable. You just have to. If you want to be fully known and fully loved, you have to be vulnerable.
That's tough.
It is. It's very. So hard. It is so hard because you are risking rejection. You are risking judgment. You are risking your very heart. Mm-hmm. That is difficult.
Yeah.
But if we are not willing to do that, then we're not willing to be known, and we're not willing to build a community.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. It is. Mm-hmm. It's so easy for me to just say it. And like I, when I'm like about to say something vulnerable, I literally feel something in me that's like, don't do it.
Oh, 100%.
I have, like, every time I have to push through it, even still sometimes with y'all, because sometimes it's embarrassing stuff. Sometimes it's like, I don't want to have to admit this or own up to this or say that I'm feeling this way, because insecurities aren't cute, but they're real, and we all have them, and we have to talk about them. Because how great has it been in our supper club when we've said something and people are like, oh, yeah, same. Like, oh, you too? There is so much validation in that, and then you can work together through it.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be willing.
Yeah.
You have to be willing to actually be known.
Mm-hmm.
So be vulnerable.
Pray.
Pray. All the time.
Talk to God.
Without ceasing.
He wants to hear from you.
He does.
Amen.
How amazing is that? We love you, God.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right.
All right.
All right. So thank you all so much for listening to Gather to Scatter.
Yeah.
Next time, we will be starting a new series on relationships. Dun, 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 dun.
Wait, it's a happy thing. Relate. Dun, dun, dun.
We both go dun, dun, dun.
We named it All You Need Is Love.
All You Need Is Love.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Okay. Well, we're adding a twist.
Dun, dun, dun. All right, guys. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Just search Gather to Scatter and subscribe, like, and follow below.
Bye.
Bye.